It's The Lucky Number. It's episode 7 of the Coast to Crate podcast. I'm Tom.
And I'm Matt. What's lucky about 7, by the way?
Well, we're going to be discussing our great luck in terms of our Florida holiday today. So I thought I'd tie that in. Because we've got 5 new stories in 5 minutes. It's 5 and 5.
We're going to be talking about our most anticipated things about our Florida trip.
That's a great noun, Matt. My English teacher will be proud. And to make up for the things, we'll be putting yet another prize in our massive prize pool for the Coast of Greats podcast competition. All that and more in this episode. Sound good?
Yes.
Good.
Good. Shall we begin? Unless you had other plans.
I'm actually popping out now. Can you wait till tomorrow for this? We recorded the intro. We'll record the rest tomorrow. It's fine. Yes, it's episode 7 of the Coast to Crate podcast. Right, should we jump straight into it?
Yeah, I think we should actually, yeah.
Great. Well, if you just hold on for a sec, I've put my phone with the timer on. This is genuine. I noticed when we started recording, I've not got the timer ready, so I'm just going to get that out. So, as you know, Matt,
this is literally a running joke every single episode when we do this, that we just can't manage to get the timer.
Between this and Muppets, it's kind of our defining feature, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels like that, doesn't it? Yeah.
Anyway, I'll tell you what. So now I've got the time, and I've introduced this segment as 5 in 5. I'm gonna do 4 news stories in 4 minutes because the fifth one I do think actually warrants a bit of extra time talking.
I might know what that is.
So that's the promise. So we're gonna do 4 in 4, and then we're gonna do the fifth
one in about 10.
Exactly. It's our usual pace, so it's no different.
Yeah, that's true.
4 in 4, Matt. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Right, I've got to do all of the new Six Flags announcements in this first minute. So we've got the Wonder Woman Golden Lasso coaster. We've got Crazanity, the world's tallest pendulum ride. We've got Cyborg Cyberspin. We've got Twisted Cyclone coaster. We've got Harley Quinn Spinsanity. We've got Wonder Woman coaster Wahoo River. Harley Quinn Crazy Coaster Typhoon Twister. Another Harley Quinn Spinsanity. Another Pandemonium. Carnival of Hell, Splashwater Island, Fright Fest, Suicide Squad, blah, blah, blah. What do you think of Six Flags, Matt?
That is an insane amount of new rides. And that's just for 2018, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's all coming next year. Let's talk about one of them. I think the thing that caught my eye was actually the Harley Quinn ride. Some of these coasters look a bit stupid, and the Harley Quinn Spinsanity, 70 miles an hour, weightlessness at 147 feet. It's a pendulum ride, that. But they're all mad, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them are just flats, right? Some of these new rides.
A lot of them flats. They've also got the world's largest loop coaster coming to Six Flags Great America. But hey, okay, you've got one final thing to say on that subject. We've got to move on.
Quantity over quality, it sounds like.
That's the motto of Six Flags. number 2, Fright Nights at Fort Park. We have got the returning mazes, Platform 15, The Big Top, Soar Alive, and the extra escape room attraction Containment. Joining them this year, the global horror franchise, as expected, was The Walking Dead. We've got 2 Walking Dead mazes, The Living Nightmare, which I think is kind of based on Negan and the more recent series, and then we've got one called Sanctum, which seems a bit more kind of generic Walking Dead. What do you reckon?
I think it's great that they've gotten some new IP,
but it's not IP to horror mazes, is it?
No, it feels like Walking Dead horror attractions have been done over and over and over again, and for me, I feel like it's a tired IP in that kind of sector, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Halloween Horror Nights at Orlando has actually ditched it now. There's no Walking Dead left there, and there used to be, you know, scare zones and mazes there. It seems like they've moved on.
There was also a couple of permanent Walking Dead attractions, scare attractions around the world. So I suppose it's interesting that they've got two mazes. I thought it would probably just be one. But it seems like they're theming the whole event as Walking Dead, but they've actually only got 2 mazes and the rest are just remaining the same, which is, I don't know, does that feel a bit weird to you?
It seems like they're trying to get their money's worth, doesn't it, with 2 mazes? That just seems odd, doesn't it?
I don't like to be negative about it, but I way prefer all the Lionsgate stuff, to be honest. I mean, I'm not a fan of The Walking Dead anyway, so it's not my kind of thing. But I think the originality of all the Lionsgate stuff they had is more interesting to me than The Walking Dead, which seems like, as I said, it's been done before.
Great. Two final stories. Dragon Challenge is now closed at Universal Orlando.
Oh, absolutely gutted. Absolutely gutted. And I can't believe that it's like the week before we go.
Exactly. It was literally so just a few days before we go. But if you hang around till this Christmas at Universal Orlando, there will be now, for the first time ever, the Christmas in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. They will be lighting up Hogwarts Castle. There'll be Christmas decorations and food and performances. So something to look forward to.
Yeah, that does sound exciting, actually.
Well, that's coming this Christmas to Universal Orlando. We've done it in 4 minutes. We've done it's 4 minutes just now. So congratulations!
Great. Well done. It's first time.
Now, the fifth story we want to discuss today is a really tricky one, and that's mainly due to, at the time of recording, we honestly actually don't know how it's going to play out at all. We're talking about Hurricane Irma, which at the time of recording on the evening of Tuesday, the 5th of September, is making its way in from the Atlantic, and it's going to be passing some Caribbean islands and the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico and then Cuba. And it sounds at the moment, anyway, in its current state, absolutely insane. We're talking, you know, category 5 hurricane, I think 195 mile an hour winds as well. It's sounding like it's going to be very destructive to these islands.
I mean, as much as it's a worry for us because we're going there on a holiday, I suppose you do have to think of all these people that, you know, live in the Caribbean and potentially the on the coast of Florida, really going to be, you know, they're going to have their lives affected by this. Whereas for us, it's just more of an inconvenience. But yes, yeah, go.
There you go.
No.
And what is the trickiness for us is that this we record this on Tuesday evening. It goes out Friday morning, by which time it's already passed quite a few islands. And the forecast of where it's going next will be better known. At the time of recording, it's on track to go up towards Florida. So we're talking now in a kind of admittedly a bit more of a selfish context, and in the theme park context, we're going, as you probably know, to Orlando this weekend on Saturday, the 9th of September. And at its current state, it will look like to affect Orlando and Florida in some way on Sunday the 10th and Monday the 11th. Of September. Now, we don't know for sure kind of the route. Will Orlando see, you know, major storms and a full-blown hurricane? Will it just be on the periphery and, you know, just be obviously an awful lot of rainfall and strong wind? We don't know for sure at this point. So we're doing a bit of research and obviously planning for our own kind of circumstances on the back of this. But interestingly, it's got similarities, although we don't know, of course, to the extent what this is going to turn out like, with Hurricane Matthew, which only took place only last year, didn't it, Matt, and actually closed the Disney parks for a day and a bit.
Yeah. I guess there's a possibility that it could close the parks again. And it wouldn't surprise me if it did, purely because of the destruction that Harvey caused, and I think that's why this has become
definitely
a bit more of a thing than it perhaps would have been, just because of what we've seen last week. And I think because obviously that's on the front of everyone's minds that, you know, potentially this could happen again, the same level of destruction. I mean, it's more powerful, so.
Oh yes, the power at the moment, at least the time of recording, and what it's going to build into over Wednesday and Thursday, gusts of wind within the hurricane of up to over 200 miles an hour, which is absolutely incomprehensible. But at this moment of recording, you know, there's been nothing firm in terms of warnings. So at the time of recording, the state of Florida has a state of emergency, which allows them and the emergency services to prepare better and anticipate this hurricane. But in terms of warnings about what will actually reach and where it will go, it's still uncertain. It's heading in that direction, but obviously a lot can change. So in terms of our trip, our travel agency is aware of it and they're monitoring the situation. We're due to fly out from Gatwick to Orlando on Saturday. It seems that it won't get to Orlando or, you know, any of the periphery by Saturday. But of course, it's ensuring that, you know, we don't just land in Orlando on Saturday and, you know, we're in a very dangerous situation on Sunday and Monday. So we'll obviously just have to keep close to that.
Yeah, I think by the time, if the hurricane just gets Florida, by the time it reaches Orlando, the category of it would have dropped considerably from five to maybe a two or something. I mean,
yes.
I was listening to some there and they've never had over, I think it was a three, actually, you know, passed through Orlando. I mean, it was a two and a three, still obviously hugely powerful and destructive, but... yeah, I suppose we're just going to have to hope for the best. We should have more news on Thursday. Obviously, it's irrelevant for this podcast because it goes out on Friday.
We're always kind of slightly unlucky in terms of like lots of things, like that Six Flags announcement we just spoke about. That was announced the day after we recorded last week, but before it went out. So we're always kind of a bit unfortunate in terms of, but this is a real thing of it. The situation is moving so fast. Whatever we say now will be completely irrelevant in one way or the other. But I mean, in bringing it back to theme parks in a way, so all the major theme parks in Orlando did close for Hurricane Matthew a day last year, and apparently Disney's actually, given its infrastructure in Disney World, maybe arguably one of the safer places to be in such circumstances.
Yeah, the entire of Disney properties off of the main public, or you know. What's the word? Municipal grid
of
Orlando. So last year during Hurricane Matthew, the power went in most of downtown Orlando, but all of Disney property remained online still, obviously because it's all separately managed and obviously probably has less of a drain on the power, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, probably one of the safest places that you could be. We're not going to be there, unlikely.
all of a sudden, the little place down the road to rest our heads maybe doesn't fill us with absolute joy for the idea of maybe being confined to our rooms for a day or so. But we don't know for sure anything yet, so we'll just have to play it by ear. But so it's been kind of hard, at least for me, I don't know about you, Matt, for over the past couple of days to really actually kind of plan and be excited as normal. I did a bit of packing on Sunday, but I've kind of not got around to anything. I spend just all my time on websites now, just incessantly refreshing and seeing what's happening. And in terms of obviously looking forward to obviously what we're going to in Florida, it's it's kind of a bit off-putting at the moment. But hopefully the damage to everywhere will be as low as possible, and hopefully no one's affected by this. But on a more theme park and kind of selfish level, hopefully it won't inconvenience us too much either. We just don't know at this stage.
Exactly, it's just too early to tell at the moment what the situation is going to be. Hope for the best and plan for the worst, I suppose.
For people that are only hearing about this now, and for some reason their only source of news in this day and age is the Coast of Great podcast, what would you advise them to do? Do they need to wait 3 weeks for the next episode of the Coast of Great podcast to find out any further information?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you'll find out in the next podcast. I mean, if we have to spend 24 hours in a hotel room waiting for this to blow over, that sounds like a perfect time to record a podcast.
Yeah, we're going to be recording a whole series of podcasts, aren't we? If you think we've gone into maybe, you know, a bit too granular or detailed, or, you know, it's a bit slow or whatever, just you wait until you hear the reams of episodes we're going to be recording locked up in our hotel room. Matt, did I ever spend 5 hours telling you the story of the Alton Towers Flat Ride Dynamo?
Oh wow, what an interesting story.
Well, you can afford to that, so get ready for that.
You can expect plenty of hurricane updates though, if we do manage to make it out there, which fingers crossed we will, but obviously we're not going to know
We will be rebranding as Coaster Crate Storm Chasers, and we will have appropriate t-shirts available to buy to match as well, hopefully. Yeah, so you can look forward to those.
Yeah.
So like I said, at this time we don't know anything, and you know what, well, whatever we'll be in the situation. Should we turn the page and then look forward to what we hope to anyway be enjoying in Florida?
Yeah, so that sounds like a good idea to me, doesn't it?
Awesome. So we have each prepared in a slightly similar style to what we did with Europa Park in the first episode. We have prepared the five things we are most looking forward to in Florida, our most anticipated things in Florida. We've each prepared five. We haven't discussed these, so these could be similar. They could be entirely different. There's obviously quite a few major new things in Orlando, so we have tried a bit each to go slightly off the beaten path, so we don't have the exact same five, but we have no idea what we've each picked. So how about we start with you, Matt? What's your fifth most anticipated thing?
My fifth most anticipated thing, I mean, I think I've got this around the wrong way, so I'm actually just gonna do a live edit right here, right now. Just looking at it now, I was like, no, that's probably not the right way around. So my number five, actually, I've got a number six. I thought I'd be cheeky and slip in a number six.
We can do that.
So I'll do my six and my five. My six is more of like a, you know, didn't quite fit on the list, but definitely needs a mention. So my six is Mindblower at Funspot.
Oh, yes.
The new wooden roller coaster. It definitely looks like it's going to pack a punch. And if SW8, we should call it the Wicker Man now, I suppose.
More or less, though, yeah.
If it's anything like that, I think we're in for a bit of a treat.
Oh, it looks really good fun. And to think that, I think they've just built this on what was a car park in the Fun Spot Kissimmee Park, which is right next to where we're planning to stay. It looks compact, but there's some amazing bank turns on it. There's a zero G roll, which I think goes above the station as well. A big first drop.
It's got a nice bit of theming as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I mean, for Funspot anyway.
Exactly. It's not the biggest part. For the fact they've been able to afford this, which is probably, a few million dollars, you know, small to medium parks everywhere, seriously look at a ride like this as an option. It seems like it ticks all the boxes and for a really good price as well.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my number six.
Awesome. Okay.
I had to slide that one in.
Yeah, of course. And in fairness, I'm looking forward to it, but I haven't put it down on my list, so I think it definitely deserves an honourable mention.
Good. Okay. My number five is Cobra's Curse at Busch Gardens.
Ooh, so we've mentioned this a couple of episodes ago with Jordan, and Jordan was raving about it, you were raving about it. I wasn't so convinced, but I think partly after my experience on Euromir and Europa Park, what are you looking forward to about it? What's going to be exciting?
I think it's just exciting that they've got, firstly, they've got a new coaster that isn't, you know, as intense as perhaps the other ones are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I suppose Cheetah Hunt isn't massively intense, but the theming looks really good on it. I'm excited because it's also a max spinning coaster in a kind of different fashion to their other spinning coasters, as in both of the cars face forward and then they can, you know, spin independently. It hasn't got the kind of facing forward and then the people behind you are facing backwards thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a wild mouse style situation. I just think it looks like a great little coaster, a good package of theming, some fun little elements on it. Yeah, I think it looks good.
I mean, I'll definitely give you that. It's definitely a Mack ride through and through. It has the vertical lift system that's on the Matterhorn Blitz. It has the multi-car spinning coaster train from Euromir or something. And then it's got kind of, the slightly unconventional Mack ride's wacky element, I guess, in the way you face. You know, you spend, I think, is it the first bit forward, the second bit backward, and the third bit just spinning? And so, yeah, I mean, kudos. It looks interesting enough. I'll see what it's like.
I don't think it's going to be anything like Euromir. I don't think it's going to have that.
Thank God.
That kind of really intense ride if you're facing the wrong way.
I think that's the thing. Yeah, for my one and only ride to be facing backwards at the wrong time, it was just like, oh, I don't quite enjoy this. But maybe I just got it bad. Who knows? I did enjoy the 10-minute lift hill, so there's something.
Yeah, exactly. That lifter was actually ridiculous.
Awesome. Right, my fifth most anticipated thing is Kraken Unleashed at SeaWorld. And I say this because we've both done VR at Europa Park in terms of Coastality, and I came off with a mixed review. You came off with a very poor review. And so I think this sounds like the best and most exciting execution of Coaster VR out there, and definitely one that I'm going to experience anytime soon. So I feel this is where I'll decide yay or nay to Coaster VR. You know, we've got a...
I actually agree with that. I think it's the first VR that I've seen. I mean, obviously we haven't been on it yet, so we can't properly judge it.
But from what I've seen from the...
But from the film that I watched on YouTube, the graphics look good. Mm. It actually looks like it's in sync with the ride.
And I suppose
the fact they've kind of redone, they've almost like rebranded the ride as well. Like they've spruced it up a little bit and stuff, which is quite nice. Which I suppose is what they did with Galactica, but just the whole VR system and that kind of just failed, didn't it? So.
Exactly. It's a nice, smooth B&M, flawless coaster, 65 mph, 7 inversions. But yeah, with a very exciting looking VR film. This is where I'm going to. I'm not being on Galactica. This is where I'm going to test out whether Coaster VR works, and I think it's going to be a really good test for it. So. I want to enjoy. I think, you know, you can choose to ride it without the VR. I was going to say, if time permits, I want to ride it first without. And then second with, because I've not been on Kraken before, and it looks like a great coaster anyway, so I just want to
think we should definitely ride it at least once with and without the VR, just because it's a really good coaster, and you wouldn't want the VR to kind of ruin that for you.
Exactly. I'm just reading on Wikipedia. It's now got, because the VR loading and unloading process is so slow and they've got to sanitize the headsets and all that, it now has boasts the capacity of 640 riders per hour.
Oh, God.
So, in fairness, you
That's
can't...
the problem with the whole VR thing.
That is the issue. You need two stations.
The throughput on stuff is awful, yeah. I mean, yeah, but even Galactica's got two stations, but that it's just still not good enough. They need to... Something needs to happen.
And in fact, I don't believe you can queue normally for it. You need to similar to what they do with the Jimmy Fallon ride at Universal. You need to have a time ticket to go back. You can get that ticket on the app as well. So clearly, queuing and throughput's a major issue. But yeah, I look forward to seeing whether VR can be done on the coast. I feel like this is probably the best test for it. So that's
I already have a negative perception of it purely from what we rode at Europa Park, but I'm willing to let this prove me wrong.
Awesome.
So should I do my number four?
Please.
Now, obviously Pandora was going to be in our top fives, so I decided not to choose Pandora as a whole, and I've gone for the food and drink at Pandora specifically.
Oh, wow, okay. This is where I tell you that Pandora does not make my top five.
Wow, okay.
I know. I've not been to Florida in 19 years, so as amazing and excited as I am for Pandora, it's not actually going to be my top five. But I am definitely looking forward to the food and drink.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. If I was you, I probably wouldn't have Pandora in my top five either if I hadn't been before. I mean, it's only there for me because... And I've seen the rest of it before, and it's newness. So, but yeah, the food and drink looks really good. Really excited for the steamed buns that they've got in this Satouli canteen. Really excited for all the little speciality drinks that they've got going on. I'm missing something. What am I missing? Those protein bowls that they've got, where you can like pick your protein and your veg and your sauce and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it looks really exciting.
Awesome. Yeah, it seems like they've really hit the nail on the head with the food. That it's exciting. It's not your typical theme park food. It's, you know, kind of relatively nice and healthy and nutritious as well. It's a good concept. And yeah, I look forward to trying it. Expect plenty of food reviews from us on our social media as we're out there.
I think it's really refreshing that they've gone for a completely different concepts of theme park fast food with Pandora. I mean, they kind of tried to do it at Universal, but, you know, you can still just get all that weird, all the burgers and chips and hot dogs and all that kind of stuff. But the fact that they've really made this, you know, healthy but also exciting is, you know, something which I think parks should do more, really.
Definitely, definitely. There's clearly a place for nice, good quality, yet still quick service food in parks, definitely.
Yeah.
My number four is I'm just looking on TripAdvisor now, has 2.5 stars out of 5 on TripAdvisor.
Oh,
and
dear.
It's the 262th out of 430th of things to do in Orlando. It's Universal's Volcano Bay.
Oh, God.
It's got lots of poor reviews, mainly, I think, due to teething problems of queuing and stuff, and there's been plenty of revisions and changes in the park since it opened in May. I'm excited for, I think the Tapu Tapu queuing system, where you have a little wristband and then reserve your place in line, will be going during a quieter time, hopefully, so hopefully not too many queues. Now, it's interesting, actually, because so the queuing system looks cool, but it's had its problems. The food to that, when it first opened, looked really exciting and different. So it maybe not in the same way as Avatar. It was still burgers and stuff, but it sounded like they made an effort. And, you know, you'd have all sorts of different toppings and whatnot on them. We've since learned that food menu has been scaled back to fewer options, though, since. So, you know, maybe they haven't fully been able to execute it. But it's got an aqua coaster, which looks exciting.
That does look great, yeah.
It's got some really cool
looking rides. I have to say, well, this feature's on my list, but not at the same place yours did.
Mm. It's got some cool looking rides and slides.
I may as well speak about it now if we're going to both speak about it, I suppose. So,
oh, we can wait.
Okay, all right. I'll let you have your turn.
It's got some fun, some rides, some slides. I'm just looking forward to experiencing what their take on the water park will be. And it seems like a nice way to go about it. I think it's definitely one that excels in the concept, and clearly there's been a few mixed reviews since it opened. So I think the thing I'm anticipating it greatly, whether it will deserve a place in my top five after I come back, whether it actually managed to execute it well when we go, is up for debate. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Hopefully the hurricane would have put a lot of people off from even coming to Orlando for the whole of next week. So
definitely, and in the context
it'll be a little
bit
less busy and.
Definitely in the context of a water park is well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fingers crossed, who knows.
The weather's looking a little bit chillier than it normally does as well this time of year.
Mm.
Okay, my number three is the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot.
Oh, wow, this is very food and beverage heavy, isn't it? I've not included Food and Wine Festival at Epcot, but you know what? Maybe in retrospect, I would have. I'm really excited.
Well, obviously, because you haven't been for, you know, so long, you've got so much more choice of things that you haven't been on that you can
pick. I need
pick.
Like a 50 most anticipated things, really, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I had slim pickings. I mean, obviously I'm excited for all the stuff I've already done and stuff, but, you know, when something is new, it's kind of even more exciting, isn't it?
Mm, definitely.
But yeah, it looks really good this year, judging by some of the reviews that I've seen on YouTube. It looks like a real good mixture of food, kind of reasonable prices as well, actually, which I was sort of surprised at.
I was really surprised. I mean, obviously, the old menu is available online, but I always had it in my head like we'd be looking at maybe like $6 or $7 for something, but actually it's more kind of $4 or $5 or so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, excited about that.
I think I've already made a short list of stuff I want, kind of reading the reviews, actually. I think we definitely have to be more than one trip to Epcot just to enjoy it all. It is worth checking out. I mean, if you're unaware of what Food and Wine Festival is, it's basically, I think it's over like 30 different booths, are they? Like food stalls that just appear in Epcot. And each one's themed around the country. That's not exclusively true anymore. There's kind of more generic themed ones. But they each sell about 3 different food items and a couple of different wines or beers and kind of like tasting samples. So everything's quite small. You need about 3 or 4 to make a meal, arguably. It's like tapas. But lots of different. It looks amazing. It's food, guys. It's food.
It's food, yeah. And 2 of my items on my list are food. Great.
But hey, I'm really excited for the food as a whole on the trip. But food and wine seems really cool. Is there any particular dish that's taken your eye so far?
sorry, what did I see that I thought that looked really good? Oh, it was like a cheeseburger in like a cone, and like you ate the whole thing. That looked really, really good.
Finally, a cheeseburger you can hold. I mean, you can hold a cheeseburger in your hand anyway, but one you can hold it a different way in your hand.
I guess it's like a deconstructed cheeseburger.
Yeah. Although we were talking about something that I'd spotted called swine brine, which is bourbon, apple cider, mustard, and then what they call a piggy wing, which is odd because pigs don't have wings, dropped in it or like on the side of a glass.
Yeah, that,
will,
I mean,
we be purchasing that for $8.50?
I feel like we should just to kind of try it, I guess. But I'm not sure if it's going to be.
I'll tell you what, I'll have the wing.
Change of my life.
Have the mustard based drink. We'll split it that way.
Yum! Mustard based drinks.
It's the healthy choice, yeah. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. My number three is probably the most evident example of I've not been to Florida in ages. It's Expedition Everest.
Oh, yeah, classic.
I think the only thing that's at risk is, I hope it's not overhyped for me.
No. It's probably one of my most favourite rides in the whole of Florida.
It's well, first of all, Matt, it's got a good capacity, 2,050 riders per hour, so it shits all over Kraken Unleashed in terms of that.
But until they decide to put VR on it, yeah.
Can you imagine? It's probably the ride in the world that probably needs VR least.
Yeah, true.
But they'll put it on anyway.
I'm sure they will give it a go, yeah.
That way the Yeti then moves, so it solves all the problems.
If the Yeti was moving, that ride would be a 10 out of 10 ride. It's probably sitting at like a 9 at the moment.
Oh,
9.2.
I think I'm just going to... it just looks amazing. The ride and the queue and the...
It's not even particularly thrilling. It's just a really good ride. Like, it's got everything that you need. It's got like a little bit of thrills, you know, a slow pace section at the beginning, backward section, like amazing theming, like the little terrain kind of coasters bit at the beginning. You know, I really, really do rate that ride.
Oh, I just can't wait. I mean, there's probably not too much I can add or say to Expedition Everest because everyone knows and knows exactly what it is, but I am really looking forward to it.
Yes, definitely, me too. Although it's not in my top five, obviously, because I've done it before. Okay, I've got all my numbers mixed up because I moved all around now. My number two, even though here it says number three, is Volcano Bay. Water park by Universal.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Have you?
No,
okay. So, I originally put this down because of the... I don't know why I keep putting down food and drink items, but I got really excited about the food and drink that they had going on there. It looked like a really good upscale kind of version of theme park food. You know, every stand had its own kind of unique feel, and it was all, you know, it wasn't just bacon cheeseburgers and chicken tenders everywhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you said, they scaled back the menu. Apparently that was down to capacity and the queues were getting too long, but I think it was probably cross-cutting.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
But yeah, I'm still really excited about it. The water coaster looks really good. The drop slides look like loads of fun. I'm really excited for the Lazy River that's not lazy.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm going to have to wear knee pads or something like that.
The Fearless River or whatever it's called.
I can picture like my knees or some body part scraping against the tiles and getting cut or something.
Yeah, I can probably imagine that.
I have such specific visions now, but I've got...
I was watching a video the other day of Tim Tracker on it, and he just went around the corner on his like ring, and this wave machine just like went crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like a massive wave just like went all the way through it. And I was like, that looks amazing.
How are people not drowning in it?
That's an insane
wave, wasn't it?
Well, there was a period when I think they were saying, oh, you have to wear a life vest to go on it. But I think they've stopped that now. But maybe, yeah, I mean, it does look kind of rough, I suppose.
Might wear one anyway because I'm cool. That's what I say to myself anyway. I'm looking forward in particular to the raft rides that have about five or six people and they're into massive funnels or they look like you're going to precariously kind of raft off the side of it and it's like about 50 foot tall or whatever.
Some really exciting
looking rides.
But I definitely won't be going on that huge, what are they called, the
But the freefall drop one.
The freefall, yeah. No
I'm
way.
I'm not sure
no.
I could do that. No.
No. So, yeah, Volcano Bay, number two for me.
Awesome. Number two for me is also at Universal. It is the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, which I guess encompasses both Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley. I think it's probably, I mean, this year has been a bit exceptional, really. You've had Pandora, you've had Volcano Bay, and obviously we're going during Horror Nights. But I guess if, you know, if you asked me a couple of years ago, whatever, you know, why would you want to go to Florida? And this will be the first thing I say, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. You know, I've been a big fan of Harry Potter. I was lucky enough to be born just at the right time to grow up with Harry Potter, so to speak, with both, you know, the books and then the films kind of coinciding, you know, and hitting chords as I was growing up and going roughly through that age. And I got into it really, really early, you know, big fan of it all. And so to explore it and to be able to just enjoy it in person, yeah, really excited for, you know, I did the tour at in sunny Watford about 5 years ago, really enjoyed that, so excited to see kind of the other side of that experience and actually, yeah, just kind of the rides that can come up with that. I'm not too sure which ride out of the three I'm most looking forward to too, and that's partly because I'm not a fan of spiders, and I know that they'll be making an appearance on the Forbidden Journey, whereas I know Gringotts is a bit tame and a bit more screen based in that respect. And then the Hogwarts, I think the Hogwarts Express though sounds like it's, I mean, it's obviously really simple, it's just a train, but it seems like it has a nice charm about it. And I'm looking forward.
The Hogwarts Express is kind of weird because, like, when I first went on it, I was like, oh, this is a cool experience. And then I kind of found after maybe the first two times we did it, you know, there and back, I found that actually we only used it as a mode of transport between the two parks. But, and I think that's true for, like, a lot of people now. I feel like it's people literally just use it to hop between the parks.
Is there,
I mean, that's not a bad thing, but it's just...
Is that just due to the... I guess there's no repeat rideability. The films, you know, they play, or the effects are the same, you know, each way, each time, so to speak. And because there's no thrill, it'll be the same as seeing, you know, I guess any screen, you know, any screen-based show, I guess, again. What do you reckon? Would that be fair to say? Is it just because you know what happens, you've seen it?
I don't know. No, I think it's just because it's a really convenient way to get between the parks.
Fair enough.
Honestly, when I was there, I think we never actually left one park from the entrance and went through the entrance of the other park. We only ever just went between the parks using the Hogwarts Express. I don't think it's because we wanted to ride it. I think it was just because it was convenient.
It does seem like a no-brainer, actually. Although I think I did see a Tim Tracker video once, and he actually... I think timed the walk between the stations with, you know, what the queue was at the time. And I don't know, there won't much of a queue when we go, and clearly we don't want to walk miles in the sun anyway. So, yeah, clearly the train's going to be better. But, yeah, I guess it's not instant, though, either. But you're right, if we get from the back of one part to the back of another, it's probably really convenient as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, that's my number two.
Has a pop. It didn't make my list, but absolutely excited for it. Always excited for it.
Yeah.
Can you guess what my number one is?
I think it's probably going to be mine as well. So I like how we come together at the end. I do hope you're going to say Muppet Vision now. So fingers crossed.
My number one is the Frozen ride in Epcot. No, it's not really.
Jeez, I was honestly scared then. I thought, is this how Matt feels when I just mention Muppets all the time? I'm looking forward to Frozen, but it's not made my top five. And
I am looking forward to Frozen, and I haven't been on it before, so I'm mildly excited for that. But obviously nowhere near as excited for that as I am for Halloween Horror Nights at Universal.
Me too.
I am incredibly excited for this. Never been before. First time going for both of us. The Shining is going to be amazing. The Blumhouse maze is going to be amazing.
What was the other one?
American Horror Story. Yeah, all the original mazes that they've released. Saw.
Jason vs. Evil Dead.
Yep.
The Scare Zones.
Yeah, the Scare Zones. I mean, everything. I mean, yeah, it's amazing. I honestly think it's going to be incredible.
if it's not all blown away over the next week.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But assuming it all stays there in one piece, yeah, I've just got to really echo that. I mean, in fairness, the ticket we got, so we will be in Orlando for the first kind of week of the event, and we got a really great value multi-night ticket. It was only about $95, including tax, and I think we can use it on every evening it operates that week. We probably won't go to every single one, but so we can get about 3, 4, 5 nights use out of it, which for $90, considering there's six of the big rides open there as well, is pretty good value actually. If you think about alternate charging, I think is it £20, maybe a bit more actually. If you particularly buying on the day at Alton, the mazes, it's probably about £25 for the four mazes there, just one go at each.
Yeah, I was going to say, people always say, it's so expensive Halloween Horror Nights, rah, 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 rah. And I'm sure it is if you buy like one day ticket. Mm, but
yeah.
If you get that multi pass, I can't remember what it's called now, Fear something.
Yeah, they've all got Fear in their name. There's different ones depending on when you go. And obviously the more premium dates, obviously do cost more. But
yeah, obviously we paid a little bit less because we're not going in the peak times. But for the amount that we paid, and the fact that we're going to get entry to every single night it's on while we're there, I think is amazing, really.
Oh, definitely.
It probably breaks down to what, like $20 a night? Less than that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess the backside of that, which it's worth mentioning, though, is it does have a reputation for queues. When we will be going on kind of the quieter nights, arguably the quietest nights of its run. But it seems like actually they're probably arguably make as much, if not more, money from selling express passes than from park admission. Apparently, say on an average night, the queue for a maze can be 2 hours long. The express pass line will be almost an hour long itself as well, such as kind of just the industry they've got there, really. And
yeah,
to see all the mazes in one night, or arguably two, if you're only going for a short trip, you basically have to buy an express pass.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fully expecting it to be, absolutely rammed and super busy. But I think if we go there with the expectation that it's going to be really busy, and that we're obviously not going to be able to do all of the houses in one night. Mm-hmm. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. I doubt we will. The fact we're going there expecting that, I mean,
Exactly, we've got plenty of time, we don't have to rush anything, we've got plenty of nights and opportunities to enjoy and get it all ticked off. We'll make sure we're there early and get in a couple of mazes whilst it's quiet then and be quieted out towards the end of the night. And then there's obviously the scare zones and the shows operate as well, so whilst the queues are busy in the middle of the night, you can just enjoy yourself somewhere else as well. I mean, the scare zones themselves look, I was watching all the YouTube vids of them in previous sets, are really exciting, and it's great, you can just walk up to it, you don't have to queue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so super psyched for it. I'm just excited for the whole trip. It's a bit weird now because we're talking a few days before we go. It's hard to be. I think our flight will operate out there, but that's by no means confirmed. And the extent of any disruption that could be waiting for us whilst we're out there is clearly quite unforeseen now. So it's last week we were just worrying about kind of random stuff, what to pack, little bits like that. Now to be wondering if it's happening or is it even safe or whatever is a bit weird, but hopefully once we get past that, there's lots of really exciting stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely. It has, I have to admit, it's been a weird couple of days.
Definitely
kind of got worrying about tiny things like making it to the airport and all that sort of stuff, to now being like, okay, this is actually like a serious thing that we should actually really be concerned about. And we just need to keep ourselves updated, I guess, and just track what's going on with it, and keep our options open as well, I suppose, because there's possibilities that we'll be delayed and we may be rerouted, or any of this could happen. So
where else should we be rerouted to? Which is the best kind of Six Flags park that we should fly to? Spend 2 weeks there instead.
Yeah.
And of course, we want you guys at home to follow us and enjoy all of our content. Assuming we do make it out there and we can enjoy some of the things we've just described, we will be giving you loads and loads and loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of updates and content throughout the trip. We, of course, you probably already follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, so there'll be lots of stuff on there, including, so we have a 360 camera. We can put 360 videos and photos on Facebook. We can put 360 videos on YouTube. We can go live on Facebook. We're doing some live broadcasts. We'll be going live on Instagram. We've got Instagram stories, which are quite fun, and definitely worth making sure you're on Instagram and following us for that. Twitter's a bit old hat in all of this, isn't it? You guess you can go live on Periscope, and if we had a big outside broadcast truck, I'm sure we could do 360 on it as well, but it's just not quite the same, is it?
No, it's not, yeah.
Which is good, because that's where the majority of our followers are. If you love static photos and maybe a video, then follow us on Twitter. We've got our YouTube channel as well. So I think if you tick the Coast of Crete on Facebook, Coast of Crete on Twitter, Coast of Crete on Instagram, Coast of Crete on YouTube, it's a bit harder to find us on YouTube. So just go to our website and click on the link. That's all pretty good. Also, we're going to have a dedicated live page on our website, which is basically just a website-based stream of all of our socials. So it's, if you don't follow us or you don't have a social network, it's just easy to see it all. Make sure you're not missing out on anything. That's coastofcrete.co.uk/live. So expect to see lots of photos of airports or just us sat at home crying or something like that. Who knows?
Yeah, there'll just be lots of photos of the ball that says delayed. Every time it updates, delayed.
So we don't know quite what's going to happen, but we do know we're definitely going to be sharing it with you. Oh, yeah, another innovation that we have is I've got some Snapchat spectacles. So we'll be able to do point of view videos and stuff on the ride. Now, obviously, people do POV vids on rides as well, but this will be hopefully a bit different. And we hope we can wear it a few more places because they're glasses and obviously not a camera. So something a bit different. So lots of video, lots of photos and 360 and mad stuff.
That's a good point.
Airport departure boards.
Yeah, you could on a lot of rides in Florida, apart from the Universal Coasters, because they're super anal about what loose articles. You could just hold your glasses as if you know they're sunglasses, and then just put them on when you're kind of going up the lift hill or whatever, and POV the ride.
Whoop whoop. And I've got my special glasses strapped to ensure that they don't fly off my head. Well, of course, I will make sure, to Matt's point, that we do comply with all of the necessary rules of the park in terms of loose articles.
Absolutely. Of course. In no way at all did I suggest that you breach any of the terms of entry to the theme parks.
Too right, Matt. Thank you very much. So, yes, so follow us on all the social networks and coastofcrete.co.uk/live. I'll tell you what though, let's give away some merch, shall we?
Let's do some merch giveaways. I don't know why, but I was going to say Merch Paradise then.
Okay, only if we do the theme tune. Yep, it's time for the Coast of Crete competition. So just to reiterate, at the end of the year, one person will win one massive prize bundle consisting of a prize for every single episode we're doing. So basically one person wins a load of prizes. So in that prize bundle so far is a Coast of Crete Janitor Jungle print, is a Coast of Crete space mug, is a... we're honestly losing track now.
That's just too much, isn't there?
A Mack Rides mug.
A Mack Rides mug, yes, correct. The Intamin brochure.
Intamin lanyard and Trips Drills shot glass. We are going to be adding to that a Disney Parks pin badge. Oh, yes. So I like a bit of pin trading, and so I've procured some Disney pins in advance of our trip, and I am excited to go into parks and trade them, and hopefully trade them some really cool badges as well, because I must admit that some all right badges I've got now, but they're not amazing, and so I'm going to be going to the parks and trading them, and I will pick out the very best one I bring back from Florida, and we'll include it in our prize package. Don't forget, Disney pins are worth from about $8 to about $15, don't they, depending on the pin.
Yeah, depending on your color banding.
Exactly, and this will be an official proper Disney pin, so that'll be really exciting. I'll try and give you something kind of parks related rather than just Mickey or Donald filling in his tax return or whatever. Batchley,
that is one of the most popular pins, actually.
It seems like they must have made tens of thousands of different designs over the years. It must be getting to the point where they are just running out of ideas.
Yeah, I imagine that they probably are, to be honest.
And so how do you win all of this? It's very simple. We give you a question each episode of the Coast to Great podcast, and for each question you get right, you get an entry. You know, as you listen to more podcasts, keep on filling in the form on the website coasttocreate.co.uk/win. And so this week's question, we're going to make it a bit easier. I think they've got a bit convoluted in recent episodes,
especially last week.
I can't remember.
No.
What it was.
Is it last week? No, the week before.
Oh no, the week before was mad. So this week's question is really simple. What is mine and Matt's most anticipated thing in Florida? And that's to help it, because people have previously got our voices confused. So since we've both picked the same thing, you can't get confused in that. So
what... Can I give a clue? I always give a nice little clue.
Okay, yeah, go on.
The clue is, it is not the frozen ride at Epcot.
That's probably a good distinction, because someone's going to listen to like the you say that.
Yeah, they're just going to skip through it all, yeah. And then they'll hear me say that. So, yeah.
So what is mine and Matt's most anticipated thing in Florida? CoastalCreator.co.uk/win. One person wins all of that lovely prize bundle at the end of the year. Terms and conditions apply. CoastalCreator.co.uk/win. So that's the. It's, if we wanted this to be a bit of a shorter episode, because to be honest, we know nothing, Jon Snow. We don't know if we're going to Florida or if we're going to be, you know, riding out a storm or what. But all we know is that we're excited to see what happens anyway.
As long as we make it there for Horror Nights.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's a good goal to set ourselves. We'll get there for Horror Nights.
Hopefully, it'll be gone by Horror Nights.
Yeah,
although there's a second storm brewing right behind.
Yes, we should say that. It's Jose. Isn't it? Yes. So it'll all be rained off anyway. But so just a kind of a couple of housekeeping things. We've obviously talked about how you can follow us on social media. Make sure you do that. We've got some merch on our shop at coastalcrate.co.uk. We've got
new merch.
I mean, we spoke about it a bit last week, but we've got a t-shirt with kind of a cool Coastal Crate word design. We've got a Coastal Crate mug with our logo on. Both of those items are to celebrate our first anniversary. They will only be available during September. So if you don't order it by the end of September, that's it. They're going to be all be incinerated, aren't they, after that?
You snooze, you lose.
Exactly. So enjoy those. We've got... So there's going to be no podcast for the next couple of weeks whilst we're in Florida, unless we're not going. But one thing that will happen, no matter where we are in the world, is on Friday, the 15th of September, on the opening night of Horror Nights, we will be revealing live. It's probably going to be quite late in the evening UK time, the winning design for our secret weapon t-shirts that we put on social media last week. We've had loads and loads and loads of votes. One design will win, and you'll be able to, it will go on pre-order live on the 15th of September. It's been really popular. There's only going to be so many t-shirts available, as always, so make sure you're on it, make sure you pre-order, and they will be shipping early October.
I was just going to say, Horror Nights opens at 6:30, I think. So 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
11:30. We might go shortly before it opens. I don't know. It depends what we're doing, because we'll probably be running for mazes exactly when it opens. So maybe a little bit earlier.
Yeah, we should probably do it earlier. I mean, hopefully we'll get out before about 10:30, I think, is probably a reasonable time. 10. It'll be on a Friday anyway, won't it? So it's
exactly.
Not,
I'm speaking to Channel 4 about going. Going on them at that time, because I think it's only Naked Attraction at that time anyway. So,
well, if we could get Jon Snow to come and kind of do the news related item around it, then that could work pretty well.
very true. So yeah, look out for that. So that's kind of all the merch covered. CoastalCreate.co.uk, check out all of that. Yeah, follow us on all the social medias. Like I said, no podcast for a couple of weeks. We'll be returning in late September, early October. We'll probably have obviously lots to discuss about Florida and a bit more. I'll tell you what though, in the meantime, you can subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast app, and if you can leave reviews on that podcast app, such as Apple Podcasts, then give us 5 stars.
Five stars, please.
Yeah, 5 stars for the hurricane-stricken podcasters, please.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, awesome. I guess this is a great leap into the unknown now, isn't it, Matt?
This could be farewell.
when I planned this podcast, I kind of wanted to like make it a bit holiday themed, and like we'd be in an airport and then there'd be like an announcement now calling us to our flight. But I think that seems all a bit trivial, doesn't it? So
yeah,
we don't even know we're going on a plane. So yeah, just yeah.
Well, the people listening do.
Yeah.
Well, most likely.
Okay, here's an instruction. So you guys are in the future, we're in the past. Your goal is to send a message to us in the past to tell us whether we're going to Florida or not. I'm not going to tell you how, because that would spoil the fun. This is like this week's game or quiz, go into the past. So if you can
I'm sad we didn't have a game this week, actually.
Yeah. I feel unfortunately the game of Atlantic-based weather systems has won this week. Mm.
This is true.
But will it win next time for the podcast? You'll have to listen and find out when we return in late September. But anyway, our bags are packed. Our hotel is booked. And who knows, we might even be staying there. We'll see you soon.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.